Welcome to the Chris Wallace Chronicles. Oh, right, you don't know who that is. Okay, he lives in Australia now, but he lived in Hollywood before Australia and New York before Hollywood. You know, the actor, the songwriter. He was at ringside for the first Ali Frazier fight, Liza Minnelli's date one night. Used to smoke weed with Morgan Freeman. Likes to tell stories, like this one.
So suddenly, I'm a traveling salesman for the Vic Chemical Company, Central Division. St. Louis is my headquarters city. There are five of us in the Central Division. Thomas, DFO, Heavy, Beaver, and me. Thomas was the boss. DFO was his assistant. We covered Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, and Missouri, and maybe Kansas. My patch was the southern two-thirds of Illinois, the southeast corner of Iowa, and the eastern half of Missouri. I met Thomas in Chicago at the Allerton Hotel. That was the quote-unquote Vic's Hotel in Chicago. During my orientation, again very much in quotes, I asked him how and where vapor rub was made. I thought a salesman should know that. He said, "How the fuck do I know? Just sell it." From then on, I was pretty much on my own. The Vic's Hotel in St. Louis was the Ambassador Kingsway. Soon after I checked in there, DFO came over from Kansas City to orient me some more. I'd be calling on drugstores that bought directly from Vic's. These direct accounts got a discount on products, but they also had to take any new products that Vic's came up with. One direct account I'll never forget was in East St. Louis, Illinois. That was one of the roughest towns you've ever seen. Maybe still is. Probably still is. When I walked in the door, one of the clerks spotted me as a salesman. "You better come back another time," he said. "Hey, I'm the Vic's guy." "Come back another time. The boss doesn't want to see any salesman today." "I'm the Vic's guy. I need to talk to him about this new promotion we have." Then I noticed that this guy had a gun on his hip. The boss looked over from where he was and said, "If you're a salesman, get the fuck out of here." He was packing too. I got the fuck out of there. These direct accounts were in virtually every town in my area. In small towns, there might be one. In larger towns, maybe a couple. Places like Mattoon, Illinois, Newton, Iowa, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and two towns that are punchlines, Keokuk and Peoria. I don't know if you'll find this as interesting as I did, but a drugstore in DuCorn, Illinois, bought something like 12 dozen of the humongous jars of vapor rub, maybe more. They only had to take one dozen. No one ever took more than that. When I asked the buyer why so many, he said, "Oh, the horse people use them." The Hamiltonian began in DuCoin. It's the biggest trotting race in the world. They put big globs of vapor rub in the horse's nostrils so it could breathe better when it was running. And I might as well get this out of the way now, too. One direct account that changed my life was in Hannibal, Missouri. That's where Sam Clemens grew up. Sam Clemens became Mark Twain. Until I went to Hannibal for the first time, I was barely aware of Mark Twain. I'd seen a movie about him, that was it. I'd heard of Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, but then who hadn't? I finished my business at the drugstore in Hannibal and decided to take a stroll around town. Here was where Becky Thatcher lived. This is the fence that got whitewashed. That was the law office where the dead body was found. There were little boxes around that you could put a quarter in and hear Hal Holbrook, the preeminent Mark Twain impersonator, tell you what you were looking at. You couldn't do this now, but I was even allowed inside the house Sam grew up in. That chance exposure tripped something in me. What I said later was that it felt like a little bit of him flaked off and landed on me. Whatever it was profound. I've read all Mark Twain's books, have a library of at least 50 volumes about him. I went to Virginia City, Nevada to see the Territorial Enterprise newspaper office where he worked, and bellied up to a bar there for a shot of house whiskey. I went to the house he built in Hartford, Connecticut, and corrected one of the docents about something she thought was a fact. In Hollywood, I had a showcase produced of a musical version of Huckleberry Finn that I wrote. I even spent an evening with Hal Holbrook at his house in Pacific Palisades. In Australia, I created a one-man show titled The Mark Twain You Don't Know that toured Australia and the U.S., and capped it all off with a new production, Huckleberry, A Musical Adventure, in Melbourne in 2018. All from having a Vic's direct account in Hannibal, Missouri. Beaver and I were the only two bachelors in the Central Division, so we became buddies immediately. He'd gone to Bradley University in Peoria, and we would often meet up there on a weekend to get drunk, chase women, and tell lies. When Vicks decided to do a big promotion called the Vicks Care Crusade, the idea being that a certain percentage of profits would go to benefit care, it also became a sales contest. Beaver and I finished 1-2 nationally. He was number one. One time the Central Division came to St. Louis for a meeting. We were all up in Thomas's room, the meeting was over, and one of the married guys asked me if I could get a hooker. I'd never tried before, but I figured Gil, the head bellhop, could take care of it, so I called him. Suddenly, the married guys all started looking at each other and squirming. You could see that if they were going to score a hooker, they didn't want any witnesses. So they decided that just Beaver and I should flip for it. This time, I came in first, so to speak. Once a year, all 30-some Vicks salesmen went to New Orleans for a quote-unquote sales meeting. That's where we all slapped each other on the back and ordered another hurricane from Pat O'Brien's. That's also where Buck Newsom, who was the big Buona sales guy from New York, took me aside and said, "Son, there's a future for you in this company." Maybe so, but my immediate future included going by myself to a little joint on Bourbon Street and watching a stripper on this little stage above the bar. Afterward, she sat down next to me and tried to hustle me for a drink. I heard my one-too-many hurricane say, "I'm not buying you a drink, but I wouldn't mind taking you to bed." She got up and left. Then came back a couple minutes later and put her apartment key on the seat between us. "I'll meet you in my apartment when I get off work." She gave me the address, and off I went. Of course, it never occurred to me that there could be anything stupid about that, so I'm in her apartment, I strip down, and get into bed. A little while later, the door opens, and in she comes. We do our business, and I go back to my hotel. When I get back to St. Louis, I realize that she has given me a little souvenir from the Big Easy, an STD. Lucky for me, there's a thing called penicillin. The salesman's life on the road quickly got pretty boring for me. Prime rib, baked potato with sour cream, and drive my red Chevy from one town to the next. I started the job in October. At Christmas, my mother asked me what I wanted. I said either a guitar or a baritone ukulele. Two guys I knew in college played baritone ukes, otherwise I'd have never known they existed. She got me a baritone uke. Much to Vic's dismay, I stayed at the Ambassador Kingsway Hotel whenever I was in St. Louis and didn't bother to find a place of my own. The price was right because they'd have to pick up my living expenses as long as I stayed in the hotel. I was able to sock some money away. I had my uke with me all the time. After a few months, I got bored with prime rib and baked potatoes and started taking a cheeseburger back to my motel room at the end of the day. And I started messing around on the uke. I bought a couple of songbooks with uke chords indicated. After a while, I got so I was pretty good and began noodling around with chord progressions I liked the sound of. The baritone uke was the first instrument I played that made chords. Before long, I started to hum a melody over the chords. Then finally, I'd think up words to go with the melody. Next thing you know, I wrote, "Nobody Cares."
Nobody cares about me. My poor heart is torn. My woman, she done left me and won't be back no more. She left me in the summer, and the sun was shining bright. My body's dead inside me. My soul ain't got no light. The birds that used to sing here and hang around my tree ain't even is stopping by now. There's no one here but me. Woman, how come you left me? Don't you know I'd cry? I cry like a baby. Oh Lord, I wish I'd die. I'm coming to the graveyard, and next to you I'll bend. I wish I could join you and see your face again. Nobody cares about me. My poor heart is torn. My woman, she done left me.
We had a sales meeting at Thomas's place outside Chicago one weekend. He told Beaver to meet me at the Allerton Hotel and lead me out to his farm because, quote, those arty guys always get lost, unquote. The artiest thing I did when I worked for Vicks was write some parody lyrics about Lavoris mouthwash, but Thomas must have seen something that I hadn't yet. Around the same time, I got to know Joanne, who sang at the Ambassador Kingsway Lounge. She introduced me to Frank, her piano player. He also wrote and produced jingles. I read an article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about Bob Newhart, who was new on the scene as an up-and-coming comedian. He had been an accountant before going into comedy. I also read Moss Hart's brilliant theater memoir, Act One. Somehow, the combination of all these things got me thinking about a different future. All these people had just decided one day to stop what they were doing and go into show business. I'd never given it any thought up until then. I'd done stuff in high school and college and the Army, but nothing I or anyone else took seriously. Bob Newhart, Moss Hart, and a baritone uke changed my life trajectory. I was still on the Vicks payroll when Frank cast me in a Jif peanut butter commercial. Jif 2-3-4, Jif 2-3-4, there's a new Jif that gives you more peanuts than ever before, for more taste than ever before, and real peanut power. Jif 2-3-4, Jif 2-3-4. By the way, for the record, I've never even tasted Jif peanut butter. After 1 year of selling Vicks, I bit the bullet and told Thomas I was quitting and going into show business. To do what? I wasn't sure, but something. It felt like the decision made itself. How I'd support myself, where I'd live, how I'd get around were questions I never asked. All I knew was that I was in St. Louis and I wasn't going to be selling Vicks anymore. From now on, I'd be trying to find a way to sell me. I'm Chris Wallace.